Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to Bravo and the Brits, the podcast with a distinctly English take on all things reality TV. And we say that because it's better than just saying two ex-private schoolgirls give their unwarranted opinion on things. I'm here with a fellow rare female INTJ, Faith Richardson.
At your service.
I love a Myers-Briggs personality test.
Oh, I do. We did them like for part of our uni course, and honestly, it was the most eye-opening, illuminating thing I think I've ever done. And now I'm literally just like, well, this is just me. I treat it like a horoscope.
Oh, I take it as gospel. I full on, if I start talking to someone on any kind of like dating app or whatever, I will just fully psychometrically test them. It's important.
It is. I think it is. It's always good to know these kinds of things.
It is good to know. And I just think, you know, who wants small talk? Just go straight to big talk. Just go straight to childhood trauma.
Like, I don't want to know what you like did at the weekend. Like, I want to know how your relationship is with your parents.
Yeah. That's literally my first port of call is, so what is your relationship like with your mother? It tells you everything you need to know.
It does. It absolutely does. I think it's such a telling thing.
I started watching yesterday The Real Housewives of Johannesburg, and can I just say, it is unhinged.
Is it? Oh my God, I'm so excited. It literally popped up on my Hey You account when I was watching the Roni one, and I was like, oh, I must watch this. It's on my like next in line kind of thing.
It's so weird. Like, you can tell that the production company is obviously different. And I don't know, even just the way that like the taglines are overlaid onto like much quieter music, they're all, it's almost like Uncanny Valley. It's like watching Housewives, but in the Uncanny Valley. You can't quite put your finger on what's different, but it's completely and utterly different to like a Bravo production. And there's this woman on there who is just absolutely awful. She's called Christelle.
Right.
And she tells the group of ladies that she's going to be flying in a private jet to this dinner that they're all having. I think they're going to Botswana for a dinner, you know, as you do. But then all the ladies are like, oh, great, we'll come with you then. We'll travel with you. And then in the testimonial, she's like, I don't actually have a private jet. I said that as a joke. And it's like so obvious that it wasn't a joke. And then she starts like backtracking when she realizes she can't pull off lying to them because they will obviously think they're going to come on it. So do you know what she does to kind of try and redeem herself?
What?
Rather than just like chartering a private jet, which I'm sure is doable for like a couple of $1,000s,
yeah,
especially in South Africa, she hires a party bus. But then she tries to frame it as like a similar luxury travel experience. And she's like, you guys, I've got something that's even better than a jet.
Oh my God, stop. I'm literally going to go and watch it as soon as we finish recording today.
Her makeup is awful. Her house is awful. Her husband is awful. She's obviously just old money. We don't ever really... Oh no, we do. We learn that she just basically married a really old rich guy and then got all his money, of course. I think the husband possibly died, but I can't quite work it out. And I can't imagine having such bad taste and so much money.
Oh my God. There's genuinely nothing more upsetting than people that have like oodles of cash and nothing, like no sense of taste or style.
This woman is the absolute epitome of it. But what I like is I think she gets kind of gone in on over the course of the series, because in the kind of last preview, I think I only watched the first two episodes,
uh-huh,
and we see her kind of losing her shit at one point and like lashing out physically at someone. So she definitely has a fall from grace. She's one of these people that's like, I just think it's all about decorum and... You know, and then she's obviously the one that's like getting into a cat fight. So I do like that.
Incredible. Oh my God, now I'm definitely going to watch it. Is the full season up?
Yeah, the full first season.
Oh, even better.
So, I mean, news.
There has been some news.
There has been some news. Stassi obviously was fired. And Kristen from the franchise, but Stassi has been fired and subsequently pregnant.
I mean, there was truly not a worse time to announce this. Like, I can only assume that she's done it to try and get people to leave her alone. Like, I'm not necessarily debating that she's pregnant, but I think any normal person would be like, now really isn't the time to share this really exciting news when basically the whole world has turned on me. So I'm going to keep it for myself and my friends and family. And then once this has died down, I'll be like, oh, by the way, guys, you know, I'm 6 months pregnant. Like, this feels very much like her crisis management team has been like, just get this news out there and people will leave you alone. People will be like, oh, she can't be that bad.
Oh, yeah. I think it was 100% done to kind of try and win over sort of the fans with some good news. Perhaps there's also this idea of lay off her. She's a pregnant woman.
Yeah, I think there's very much that involved. And it might even be that thing of being like, oh, we could do a spin-off around this kind of thing, you know, like her and Beau and their baby, which is probably an angle that they're going for.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem strange if she's actually been fired from VPR that she would be able to get any kind of spin-off from it. But you do think she is pregnant?
I think so. I think it would be incredibly callous to make it up. And I mean, we know she has the potential to be a garbage person, but I'd like to think that she's not that much of a garbage person, but I could be completely wrong.
I think it's too much of an elaborate lie to, you know, you'd have to build out too much around it. But then part of me is like, but would you though? Because we're all kind of locked indoors.
Yeah, and there's not really paparazzi if she's not going anywhere and she can be like, oh, well, you know, quarantine, lockdown, got to stay inside and stay safe for the baby kind of thing. So she could really get away with faking it for a while. But I don't know what the end game would be. At some point, there has to be a baby.
I know. I'm just trying to think just an indefinite gestation period until she manages to, like, win back our hearts and minds. She just comes out with some kind of mop with like a paper plate attached to it. Someone's drawn a face on. One of those, what do they do? Don't they in America give people like potatoes that they have to treat like babies? As
part oh my God, yes. Or they have those like doll things that actually behave like real babies. They like cry and you have to change the nappy and feed them and things like that. And it's meant to teach like teenagers that basically being a young parent is shit. Maybe she'll just get one of those.
I mean, British people love just being young parents.
I know. It's like a cultural phenomenon, isn't it?
My sex ed class was wild.
Ours was so fucking bland and basic. It was literally very much like, here's how a period works. Here's how a penis works. Here's how a vagina works. Let's never mention it again.
I remember for ours, we got shown this this like documentary where they had like put a camera inside someone
They
had sex. No, I swear it was wild. It was like sex but from the inside.
Oh my God.
Some kind of like camera colonoscopy. I don't even know how they did it, but
it's insane.
Actually, when I think about it, that's pretty Euro.
Yeah. It's not the British way.
No, definitely not. And then we definitely had to put condoms on bananas.
Oh, we had to do that as well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were 11 when we had it as well.
Yeah, we were quite young as well. And I remember at the time being like, well, this is really redundant to me at this point. But in hindsight, it's like, well, they probably could have just done a better job of it. They actually put much more effort into showing us like how dangerous like smoking is. Like, they set up this really elaborate contraction that was basically like a lung, and then like showed what happened when you smoked. And like, by this point as a teenager, I already smoked, so I was just like, just really makes me want a cigarette, like
completely counterproductive. Yeah, learning about sex education at the age of 11 when I was literally just like, I just want to go home and play with my Barbie dolls. Yes. It was just a bit of a moot point, I feel.
Yeah, no, it was very much the same for me as well.
Like, they skip out the bit where you get, like, you just have a very subpar sexual experience in the toilet of a house party. And that's how you get introduced to the world of lovemaking.
Yeah, they really kind of skirt over all the kind of, like, it's probably going to be fucking terrible to at least your mid-20s.
Yeah, I remember just staring at the ceiling, and there was like a clock that was being projected onto the ceiling. And I just remember thinking, like, will this ever end?
Oh my God. Incredible. I mean, there's nothing worse than literally watching time count down as it's happening.
I know, yeah. It's kind of crazy. It definitely takes you a good few years to get into the swing of things.
Absolutely.
Get into the swing.
Oh, yeah. Really one extreme to the other.
Yeah. 0 to 100. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on Stassi being fired?
I don't know. I mean, I have this thing with cancel culture where it's like, I understand in theory that it's kind of saying, like, you know, if you are a trash person, you don't deserve a platform. But I also think it's only really should be applicable if it's something that they're literally currently doing or literally very, very recently done. Like, I think this thing of digging up stuff that everybody's ever said from like 10 years ago, I mean, I know Stassi's was more recent than that, but like, it happens a lot where people will find a tweet that somebody did when they were like 17 and then they just immediately get cancelled. And it's like, we've all said shit when we were like 15, 16, 17 that none of us are proud of. Like, I go back through my Facebook, like, Instagram things, and I'm like cringing because I'm just like, oh, it's so like ignorant and misguided. And I just don't think it's fair to hold people accountable to stuff that happened like a decade ago.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're probably kind of, I get the sense that we're in the minority having that opinion. I think people seem to be a lot more polaroid. You said Instagram. I thought that was the Instagram logo. I was like, yeah, I think people seem to be very polarized about it in that either they're like, Stassi should be able to say whatever, you know, and they're like very kind of militant free speech, or they're completely the other way and like shut it down and blah, blah, blah. Now, I think that if Bravo had wanted to take a stand, they should have done it all of those years ago, right? When it first happened. Because I remember this controversy the first time around.
I was going to say, I mean, it sort of half passed me by. Like, I think I wasn't as heavily invested in it back then. So I kind of didn't follow many of them or kind of keep up with like news kind of thing. I basically just watched the show and that was it. So it kind of skipped by a little bit, but I do remember hearing something about it. And I agree. Like, I think if Bravo actually, it sounds awful, but if they actually cared and actually wanted to make the stand, they should have done it like the 3 years ago, whatever it was, when all this shit happened and came out, because to do it now seems like it's kind of really performative of like, oh, well, there's this movement happening now that's in the headlines, so we should be seen to be doing something, rather than we think this is bullshit and you should have gone.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the fact that they didn't fire Max and Brett for doing something fairly adjacent a lot more recently, well, not that they did it a lot more recently, but it came to light a lot more recently. You know, I think that would have been, that would have shown that it was not just them bowing to audience pressure. That would have shown that it was of Bravo's own volition.
Yeah.
What I do have to say is that I listened to Faith's interview on So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, and I think that is, those actions were really, really unforgivable. So I think the dumb tweets, you know, the stupid sort of picture in the mirror where they've all captioned themselves, that is insensitive, you know, that's misguided. But I, you know, to me, that's just someone that's put something out there and not realized the connotations that it has. You know, that to me doesn't seem deliberate. This kind of campaign that they forged against Faith, when you listen to her kind of recount it, that was like a committed pattern of behavior, and I think that's really what kind of
So I still need to listen to that interview, but I agree in that sense where it's like, I think the comments from years ago were definitely from like a misguided place rather than necessarily a vicious place. But again, there's also the clips from her podcast thing where she basically says the equivalent of like, all lives matter. And it's like, again, it's like, I don't know how deep that runs or whether she just is quite ignorant and doesn't really know or understand it. But from the sounds of things, like her actual treatment and behavior towards Faith was like hideous and like a proper, like you say, like a planned, coordinated kind of a thing. So I can understand them acting more on that now, because I don't think that had ever really came to light until now, had it?
I don't know, because like I say, I remember this controversy kind of coming up very vaguely. And again, I think my reaction was like, oh, Stassi's like not a good person. Well, you know, Stassi said some dumb shit on her podcast, you know. I wasn't massively surprised by it. Yeah. And like you, I wasn't necessarily at a point where I was like delving deep into these things and keeping up to date with all of it. But I do think that people should be given the option to grow and learn and change. I'm not saying they shouldn't have to suffer the consequences of their actions, but yeah. I think the danger of everything being so polarized now is that if we don't give people some kind of leeway to be educated and to learn to be better, then we aren't allowing for the problem to be solved. We're just going to deepen the chasm that already exists between either side even more. And as a result, we're going to make any kind of crossing over or bridge between those two kind of polarities even harder to achieve. So I think it was right of Bravo to do what they did. I think they should have done it years ago when all of the Faith stuff first came to light, because like I say, that really to me was what was shocking. I think everyone's posted dumb stuff on social media before, and I agree with you. You know, I mean, even the way that I thought about the world when I was at uni is completely different to how I think about it now, you know, and I've only been out of uni for 3 years. It's also completely different to how I thought about it when I was at school and when I was a child. And, you know, people do change and evolve, and that depends on their environment and who they're around and their experiences. So we do have to understand that, you know, doing one bad thing doesn't make you a bad person in absolution. But I think, you know, they have to, it's a difficult situation to manage, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm
everything by Stassi and giving her that opportunity to change and to have, you know, redemption.
Yeah.
I mean, even Faith said, sorry, I'm kind of on
for a rant. Go for it, go. Even
Faith said in the interview, she was like, I never called for her to get fired. You know, I want her to change. And she was actually saying, we need to make that possible. And it, honestly, listen to it, because she is really, really likable. She also went to school at one of the international schools in Belgium.
Oh my God, no way.
I know, which is so wild, because her dad was in the military. So she was actually stationed in Belgium for a bit, which is quite cool. She did call it a beautiful country, though. And I was kind of like, I wonder where you went to school. So I think it's a really difficult one. I think they did the right thing. I think Stassi should lie low. I don't think the pregnancy was the right tack to take. I think it was a cheap distraction technique. And I think she should just lie low for a few months. I kind of feel like she'll be fine. You know, she'll have her audience, even if it is the All Lives Matter, you know, small town America, Drayden, Kate brunch crowds. But I think she needs to take a step back for now and dial it back.
No, I think that's completely right. And I mean, like you say, it is like, I think she as a person will be fine. I mean, even when it was like on Roni and there was like all the Trump election stuff, and like we kind of got a real sense of the fact that like people like Ramona and Dorinda and Sonia are all like massive Trump supporters, and obviously they're like friendly with him and that sort of thing. And it's like, yeah, they've all said kind of ignorant stuff before as well, and they're all fine, and they all kind of have that fan base as well that obviously they rely very heavily on. So I think she would probably slot fairly seamlessly into that, because, you know, she's like thin, rich, white woman. She'll be fine in that kind of sphere. It just won't be in the more open-minded liberal sphere of things.
Yeah. And do you think Jax should go? Because now a lot of people are saying, well, you know, look at all that Jax has said over the years.
I know. I think we kind of get to a point then where it's like, do we just scrap the whole show? Because everybody's been super problematic in different ways. I mean, with the exception of probably Tom and Ariana, there's not really been many of them that are kind of completely clean and dry in this kind of situation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. And I think actually, well, Katie was very put off by the kind of fake police prank. So
that's true.
That showed a level of kind of cultural understanding and sensitivity that I think was lost on Schwartz and quite a few of the others.
Yeah. Although, God, can you imagine a show that was literally just the Toms, Katie and Ariana? Imagine a show that was literally just the Toms, Katie and Ariana.
No. I refuse. Although I love Tom and Ariana and I would probably watch them do anything just because I'd be like, couple goals.
Yeah, I'd so watch a spin-off with them. I think that would be a good move, to be moving to, like, instead of like Sir and Vanderpump Rules, I think they should just make it a Tom spin-off and they should just go in that direction.
Yeah, I think that probably makes sense. They could always have VPR Las Vegas. I hope they move Sheena to Vegas and they do something with her there, because Sheena is, to me, just quality television.
It is, and she would thrive in Vegas. Can you imagine? I mean, there's never been a more Sheena place on earth.
Yeah, she's so Vegas. That that would work really nicely for her, I think. So, yeah, I think it was the right thing to do. And I think, you know, I haven't like read the most about it. You know, I'm not going to say I'm kind of an expert on the situation or anything, but from my very general understanding, that's kind of how I feel about it, is like, okay, Stassi, you're going to have to suffer the consequences of your actions for a bit. You'll probably ultimately be fine, which is why I don't feel that bad about it. But I think we need to, as an audience, leave enough space for there to be like an edifying conversation, a constructive one, and not just a destructive, you know, banish you to the shadows kind of vibe, which again is what Faith was echoing in the interview. Even after having that kind of targeted campaign of action against her, which made me really, really like her and make me feel like she had a very kind of holistic understanding of things and was very kind of open and just a good person.
Yeah. I mean, I always got kind of quite a nice vibe from Faith anyway, like even like her brief stint on the show. So, but I think you're right. I think it is that thing of like, I think people should be held accountable for their actions and the things that they say and the things that they do. But I think it should be given the opportunity to, as long as they're willing to learn from it, I think there should be an open space for them to go, do you know what? I did fuck up and I'd like to learn how to be better and how to do better and how to, you know, be more inclusive and be more kind of kind to people. And I think as long as they're willing for that conversation, I think it's a conversation that should happen. But obviously if they're just like, well, I don't see anything wrong, then cancel them.
Well, I think Billy Lee kind of initially brought it up with Stassi when the podcast came out and kind of pulled her up on some of the things that she said, and Stassi's reaction was very much like eye roll, you know. But at that point, she felt that she was invincible. And maybe, if nothing else, this will remind her that, you know, she isn't, and she has a platform and she will have to take a certain level of accountability for her actions, rather than just rolling her eyes and saying, you know, oh, whatever.
So,
and then we have Tinsley's departure. So she obviously took Martin, the boxing coach's word to heart.
You know, I actually, when I was watching this episode and when I did like a little montage thing, like I actually genuinely felt quite sort of emotional. I was like, do you know what it is? Like, I know we kind of like, we dick on Tinsley for not having the biggest personality and stuff, but like, she is so likable and I do really like her as like an addition to the cast. So it is quite sad that she's leaving, but it'll be interesting to see whether this is where Elise kind of steps into that role. And maybe that's why they've been pushing her so much this season, is that she kind of becomes a natural filler in the cast.
Yeah, that would make sense, because she is present at every scene, which is still, she feels like more than a friend of in that sense.
Yeah, because I mean, even when for example, in Beverly Hills, when Camille left, but she was still a friend of, like, she was only there sporadically, and she'd obviously been a big part of it beforehand. So the fact that Elise has literally been involved in every single thing that they've done makes me think they're kind of leaving that door open for Elise to kind of step through and take over from Tinsy as the kind of nice, quiet, calm one.
Well, Tinsley also brought a vein of deep unhappiness to everything and serious mummy issues, which I always like.
I was so into it. But I mean, we might always also find that now that if Elise does take on that role, obviously we'll get to know a little bit more about her. And it might just be that she's just deeply unhappy as well, and she'll fill that void for us.
So we open up with Ramona picking up chicken from the deli for her dog. And the man behind the counter is like, I don't mind looking at you. And she hesitates. And then she goes, and I don't mind eating your food. And it's just like when someone says, I love you, and you panic and you go, I know.
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
I'll see you soon. Take care.
I feel like this is just the most New York fucking scene ever. Like, her dog has deli chicken.
Dog eats better than I do, honestly. So this is a Halloween themed episode. Are you quite a big Halloween person?
I do love Halloween. I love kind of the theatrics and getting dressed up and stuff. And like, we sometimes will do a Halloween party at our house and things like that. Like, I never like town so much during Halloween, just because I feel like it's always just full of the worst kind of people. But I love a Halloween party.
I know, a Halloween house party is the way to go, I feel.
Absolutely. I also really want to do way more like Halloween things. Like, I'd love to do one of those like haunted maze things.
What, haunted maze?
Yeah, they have them in like, I think it's like York and things like that. My friends did some a couple of years ago, and it is literally, you're just like left at this like giant maze and you have to go through, but it's kind of like the haunted house in this, where things like jump out at you and chase you and shit like that. But
oh yeah, like an open air haunted house.
Yeah, so I'd really love to do something like that.
Yeah, I will not be coming with you for that.
Do you know what it is, right? So I am truly the worst with things like that. This, I love horror films and being scared and all that kind of thing, but also my gut reaction when I get a fright is just to punch blindly. So if something jumps out at me, I'm just gonna be like, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna hit you in the face.
You're gonna get arrested for assaulting actors.
And I think it all stems from when I was younger. I was on like a ghost train, like, you know, like the rides that you get at fairs and things like that. I was on this ghost train and one of the prop skeletons like became dislodged and fell onto me in the car. And it freaked me out so fucking much. So now I can't go on them. And the idea of anything just popping out of the dark at me is too much.
That is horrific.
It, honestly, it was terrifying. I was only like 12 or something, and it just scarred me for life.
I get sometimes into a really dark internet place, and one of my favorite slash least favorite things to look at is like stuff that goes wrong in theme parks and like deaths at theme parks. It's one of my favorite novels. Okay, my parents were woefully bad at censoring what books I read. So I would be reading like full on adult books at the age of like 10, 11.
I was the same. I literally remember for our reading like group, we like, it was in like year 8 or something, and I brought in like a fucking Clockwork Orange, and my teacher was like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, my parents said it was fine for me to read it. And you could see my teacher's like mental note to speak to adults.
I actually, my English teacher had to, I wanted to take Lolita out of the library, Nabokov. And my English teacher was like, I'm not sure you should be reading that. So she made me go home and ask my parents for permission. And then they had to like sign a piece of paper to say that I could take it out. But my parents were like, of course she can read any book she wants in the library. Like, this is ridiculous. But one of my favorite books was about a serial killer that operated at theme parks. It was called Dreamland.
Ooh,
and it was like super dark. And it opens up with this girl bleeding to death through her like mascot suit. So I've always been a bit darkly fascinated by that, but it also adds another layer to my own personal experience of theme parks.
Oh my God, no. Is there a story here that I need to know?
Well, no. I think the last time I went to Euro Disney, I went with my friend Nicole. We went for her birthday weekend, and we must have been 15, 16 maybe, mm-hmm. and we just drank the whole time. Like, it was great. We stayed in one of the really nice hotels. We had like a princess suite. We basically had like the honeymoon suite together.
Okay.
It was great. There's actually a picture of us somewhere. We also had matching platinum blonde hair, so everyone thought we were sisters. And there's a picture somewhere of her like down on one knee pretending to propose to me.
That's so fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, it was good. But I hate the idea of being on a roller coaster and like something going wrong or malfunctioning or so the thought of like just a skeleton dislodging and just clattering down onto you, I just, oh god, that truly.
Have you seen the I think it's called McCamey Manor in America, and it's basically a haunted house, but they like legit torture you. You have to sign like a waiver beforehand, but they like waterboard you, shave your head, like feed you like vomit and maggots and things like that, and it's meant to be like a sort of like haunted house test to see how much you can withstand, but nobody's ever completed it. And they literally like to get you there, they like kidnap you and put like a bag on your head and like duct tape it up so you can't, you know, you lose all sense of where you are and stuff.
Okay, so I know this lockdown has like desensitized me to a lot, but I think even in terms of bondage, that's a bit much.
Oh my god, honestly, it's been around for like a good few years now. There's been like loads of controversy about it, but it's like it's a genuine thing. It's like proper genuine torture. It's like people have like broken limbs and all sorts.
Can you send me the link to that, because I want to read about it? And also, like, any of that freaks me out because my dad did military training, and at one point they try and just break you psychologically, and it's so easily done. So they just put him in a room, in just a white room with padded walls and a padded floor for something like 48 hours, and you just lose your mind.
That is terrifying. I would not hold up well under torture.
No, this is the thing. And he also suffered quite a lot of like physical endurance, obviously doing the training and stuff. But he always says like the psychological aspect of it was the worst part.
Yeah. Oh my god, no, I just couldn't. I am too much of a fucking pushover for things like that. I'm not just like, whatever you want, just take it, it's fine.
And yeah, I know. My mum always just taught me, like, if you get robbed, give them everything, like, it's fine, and then just run for your life. Like, don't be a dead hero, be a live coward.
Yeah, I think that's
my motto.
I think that was essentially the kind of training that my parents gave me as well.
So speaking of horrific productions, we go to Luann and her producer, who are auditioning stand-up acts for her new show. And this man is just so visibly exhausted by his current role. So Luann's trying to get in and he goes, oh, look, she's attacking the door. And you can tell there's like genuine dread in his voice.
It's so deadpan.
In this gold bomber jacket.
And you can just tell, like you say, like there's just that sort of current in his voice, of kind of undertone of, here I am again. I have to pretend that this is going to be good.
Yeah, you can see the switch that he flicks of like, turn up the energy.
I must perform for the next hour.
Exactly. And then his social meter can just run out as they wrap up. So Sonia rocks up in a sort of black satin boiler suit, which I thought was very cool, actually. I thought she looked better than she has done in a while in this particular scene. She just looked a bit more fresh and glowing.
Yeah, although I did love that she called it Kendall and Kyle rather than Kendall and Kylie.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. Which just negated any vague attempt that she'd sort of managed to accumulate.
Of being hip. So they're talking kissing etiquette across the continent, and Luann is like, oh, well, the Spaniards will just kiss you straight on the mouth. Now, as a continental, that is fake news, okay? I don't want Americans going to Spain and trying to just outright snog people in the street. That's especially not advised at the moment.
I was going to say, I love this kind of, like, geographical politics of kissing. Like, Luann was just, like, the authority on it, like, I've never, ever, as somebody who lives in England, which is, you know, ish, in Europe, or was in Europe, I have never been greeted with a double kiss in my life.
Well, no, in England, they don't do the kiss. That is a purely continental thing. Because I have accidentally, like, lunged forth at people to kiss them. And people have genuinely, like, taken steps back from me. I learned that when I first turned up. And I thought, because, you know, in Belgium, even guys kiss each other on the cheek to say hello.
That's so interesting.
And here it's like, I don't want to freaking hug you. I don't know you. I don't want to press the entirety of my body against you. But what am I going to do? Shake your hand or like wave at you?
I hate that. I hate when you first meet somebody and you have that sort of awkward thing of like when somebody's like introducing you around the table and you have to do that kind of awkward like little half wave or something like that. It's the worst.
You do like a little shrug.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's me. I hate it.
And then Sonia's like, Lou's just on a roll because everything she says is funny because she's just not in jail. And we also learned that she was not paid for her last role.
Oh my god, I know. So this was truly terrible, like on Luann's behalf, and definitely not countess like etiquette at all. But I love that Sonia's like, oh, she covered half of my hair and makeup, which I did myself.
Yeah, I just, it's very Luann, isn't it? But can she be making that much money off these shows? I don't know.
I know. I mean, I don't think so. I think maybe her personally would be getting paid a fair bit because I'm guessing she's like the headliner, which I use loosely. But I can't imagine like as a production, it's actually very profitable.
No, although I would pay through the nose.
Oh, 100%. But I feel like her market is very niche.
Well, I don't know, we've got like 75 Instagram followers already.
And
like,
know, look at us, I'm so happy. So nice.
Like, Bravo, oh my God, world is out there. It's a Bravo new world. Damn, that's a good podcast name.
I was just about to say, if that's not the name for this episode, then I give up on life.
Okay, fine, fair enough. So then we have a montage of these comedians' bits. Any standout ones there for you?
I mean, I don't know if I'm just bitchy or have such a bitter sense of humour, but I did not find one of them funny.
No, I like the guy that talked about rap music and admissions essays. That was quite funny. But then the guy that was like, if you can't tell I'm gay, I'm wearing a hat.
Yeah.
Just like, wait, what?
Is that
Do
a
gay
thing?
People not wear hats now? Is this...
I also feel like they were such a weird demographic for like a Luann de Lesseps variety show. Like these were like young Brooklyn hipsters, which nothing about that screams Luann to me.
No, but I think that's how Luann perhaps wants to see herself.
She was very invested in it all being very sort of like sex and relationships and sexy and that kind of thing. So maybe that's the way that she thinks that can go. Is just hiring a bunch of young hipsters that she's found like in the South Boroughs to try and boost her up a little bit.
I do feel that if she was going to go down the sex and relationships route, she should have kept it more burlesque and like incorporated comedy and actually like the choreography.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, that is where she sort of excels. Do you know what I mean? Like people come to see her do her kind of kind of vibe.
And didn't she co-produce that other event from earlier in the series where everyone was just like, this is a shambles. There's like podcasting, there's like business empowerment mixed with charity, mixed with stand-up. So obviously the idea of a true variety show in New York is just not flying.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a thing that people are that bothered about or even have any sort of like known about.
So the producer is just like egging them on. He's like, go on, give it a shot. He's just like, anything to deflect from the energy I have to give you right now. He's doing like a real back of the throat laugh. He's like really eking it out into the atmosphere.
I was literally, as soon as I realized that Sonia and Luann were about to get on that stage, my skin did that thing where it starts to just sort of shrink away from my body a little bit, where I was like, oh no.
So we then go over to Tinsley's apartment where she's matching her zebra print chairs and her cushions. And she's FaceTiming Leah and we learn that she just got back from Scott's in Chicago. Scott's apartment looks insanely gorgeous. I mean, who knew there was so much money in coupons?
I know. I tell you, we've really been in the wrong business here because that apartment was what's up. It was insane.
He must have old money as well.
Yeah, I feel like he has to, because I mean, like, I get the coupon thing, but I genuinely don't think it's that much of a big seller. Maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't strike me as the kind of thing that could afford you that kind of lifestyle.
No, just to have one, like, one website that does really well, and then to get, like, a $30 million acquisition, that to me seems pretty high.
Yeah, that seemed very... There was something amiss there, and there's some information that I don't think we had.
I mean, I don't know why Tinsley's been hesitating to move to Chicago now that I've seen her likely premises.
I know. I mean, can you imagine if somebody's like, "Oh yeah, do you want to move into here with me?" I'd be like, "Fucking sign me up, send the jet, I am there."
I'd be like, "You don't even have to be nice to me."
Yeah, genuinely, that apartment's big enough. You can just never speak to me again, and you won't even know I'm there.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'll just stay in my closet the entire time.
I did love, though, that she was like, "Oh, I was trying to play it cool, so, like, I didn't want to go, but I just waited until he told me to, and then I went." And I was like, "That's not playing it cool, dude."
It is in her book.
Yeah, that's literally just waiting to do what you're told and then doing it.
That is such a Tinsley way of, like, yeah, I really showed him. I waited 5 whole minutes before I answered his text message.
Yeah. Oh, God. I love Lear and Tinsley, though, just as a pairing.
I hope they keep up their friendship.
I do as well. I think they will. It seemed quite legit.
Yeah, I think so too. So we transition seamlessly into Blood Manor, and all the ladies are assembling, and there's this, like, raggedy, freaky clown just patrolling the streets. I mean, the clown is really blossoming during his time on TV. And the clown's dialogue, honestly, at some points reminds me of Dorinda's Drunken Ramblings. At one point, he runs up to Elise and he's, like, clapping sarcastically, and he's like, that's right, very good. And I was just like, where have I seen this before?
That parallel is exceptional.
I mean, Ramona gets so terrified that she's, like, openly weeping at the end of it.
I know. I also love that when that the zombie or whatever scared her, she literally, whatever was in that fucking gift bag, she just launched that shit. She didn't go back and pick it up. She was done with it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And then Luann rocks up in a leopard print catsuit, looking freaking amazing, dressed as a cougar.
I love this for her, but I also kind of, I hate that slightly awkward thing of, like, obviously feel like the only one that was really in costume. I know Dorinda had, like, a little skeleton suit on, but I feel like she could have left the whiskers maybe until her party later.
Yeah, the face makeup kind of betrayed the outfit, I feel. It was a bit low effort. Leah picks up on the clown's just rogue aura, and she's like, I think this guy is, like, just being himself.
I mean, I sort of got that vibe from him as well. It did not seem like he was kind of, like, in character. It just seemed like he was generally, like, a weird guy.
I mean, this to me looks horrible. Like, I don't like a haunted house.
See, I would be fucking terrible at it. Again, it would be the same thing. I'd be too inclined to get a fright and just immediately flail a limb somewhere. But I would like to try it, but I'd also like to try it in a space where I can sign some sort of waiver that's like, I am not responsible for what happens.
If someone gets kicked in the balls, kicked in the balls, okay?
From you guys.
I did love the cackling twins being compared to Ramona and Sonia.
I did, and I love that Bravo did, like, the little mirror flashback thing of it as well.
Yeah, that was excellent. That was great. By the end of this, you can tell that Ramona feels like she's been put through the emotional ringer. She's just over it, and they head straight to a tequila bar to regroup.
Oh, so this fucking, not dinner, but this drink scenario was just the worst all round, I feel.
It made me so angry for Tinsley, and that takes a lot because I'm not base level particularly empathetic towards Tinsley.
No, I'm not, and, like, I generally find her quite, like, I just kind of feel like I sort of fall in a sort of mez zone of, like, Tinsley quite a bit, where I'm like, oh, you know, I don't dislike her, but, like, I never feel like I'm the first one to her defense kind of thing. But this just made me furious.
Yeah, so Tinsley and Leah pop to the loo, and the girls are already making bitchy comments about Scott. And essentially, what this all comes down to is they're feeling slighted because she put on Instagram that she's back with Scott before telling them. So they've all just decided to shun her.
Which is just such, like, fucking petty high school bullshit.
It's such playground behaviour.
Isn't it? It's like, oh, we're all going to gang up on you because I've said so and I don't like you, but all coming to you now. And it's just so childish nastiness. It's insane.
So when Leah and Tinsley come back, Leah actually suggests making a toast to Tinsley and Scott and says, you know, they're going to get married and be together. And Dorinda just leans over and goes, oh, you can move out of your hotel then.
I wanted to just lean over and slap Dorinda across the table at this point. I was like, what? Like, why? You literally rabbited on all fucking season about how much Tinsley doesn't tell you about Scott and doesn't tell you this, that, and the other. And it's like, here she is literally telling you some of, like, the biggest news that you guys have all been pushing her for so long. And you literally have nothing to say back to it. Like, not even a, that's great. Or, wow, you know, congratulations. Like, they couldn't even muster that kind of very base level support.
Yeah, I mean, even in the last scene from the last episode, they were all kind of rallying around her and being like, if you want to be with him, you should just be with him. You should go for it. So this just felt like kind of a 180 as well.
Yeah. I know, yeah, they were all kind of being like, yeah, you know, you should go and you should just be like, put a ring on it, like, we need to get married or, like, call it a day or whatever. And that's basically exactly what Tinsley's managed to do, is she's managed to sort of strap in and go and make this shit happen. And they literally barely even look up from their tequila.
Yeah, they just decide to collectively ignore Tinsley and Leah. And Tinsley points out very aptly, and she's like, at times, my relationship is so important to these women. And then as soon as things go my way, they just shrug it off and they don't care. And it's true. And that's where it felt really cruel, because it was like, this is a nice thing that's happened.
Yeah. Made it seem like they all kind of enjoyed, like, wallowing in her misery and kind of treating her like some kind of, like, little kid that was, like, not getting her way and, like, you know, boo-hoo-hoo. But as soon as it's actually gone right... On the side, though, I did love that Luan was just sat at this fucking dinner table in this fancy ass bar with a cat face painted on.
Luan has no shame. She knows she looks great in that cat suit.
I know, and you know what it is, I live for that level of confidence.
Exactly. And then Elise, now look, Elise is getting so much hate online, and I don't really understand it. I like her. I don't even, like, just on a basic level, is she even intervening enough to have something to dislike her for?
Yeah, I don't understand what people are actually, like, getting up on her for. Like, I, from my perspective, all she's ever really done is sort of play devil's advocate and try to explain the other side of the story to people. So I don't know why that's made her suddenly so hated. And, like, not just because we are massive Elise apologists who love her, but, like...
Yeah, anyway, it just seems very odd and misdirected. But Elise says to Tinsley, you know, look, they're being really hard on you. It's unwarranted, which I completely agree with. And then Dorinda on the other end of the table is like, she's making an ass out of us. And it's like, no, this is so disproportionate. Like, the punishment does not suit the crime.
Not at all. And I don't even understand where she's got this, like, entitlement thing from, that she thinks that she's owed an insight into Tinsley's life. It's like, you've been nothing but mean to her. Why should she tell you?
Yeah, because she's obviously sharing everything with Leah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even a couple of episodes, Dorinda was like, oh, maybe, you know, Leah just kind of knows how to speak to her better, so maybe there's something I can learn from Leah in that respect. And it seems like that lasted all of about 3.5 seconds before she's like, no, it's so much easier just to be a cow.
And so Ramona goes with Dorinda's party line to appease her, which does also show to me that even Ramona can be a bit scared of Dorinda at times, which is saying something.
I was going to say, and I think that makes, like, for me, that kind of made me realise that Dorinda is, like, as unpredictable in real life as she comes across through editing. Do you know what I mean? It's not just that she kind of gets a harsh villain edit. It's that she clearly is this sort of unpredictable and this rude and nasty and irrational when she's been drinking, in that people like Ramona, who genuinely, like, have known her for years and know her externally from the show, are so afraid of her that they're literally willing to be a bitch to somebody who's just announced they're getting engaged just to stop her from having a go at them.
Yeah, I mean, Tinsley, you can tell, is just so over this group of ladies. And let's face it, they're only making her departure easier.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why should she want to tell you and stick around for you guys when this is literally what she gets? And then Dorinda made that weird, like, turkey baster comment. And it was just
that,
like,
was so below the belt,
wasn't it? And it was just like, what? Like, who are you? You're a fucking middle-aged woman.
And you can tell that Leah has really lost all her patience for it as well.
Yeah, I think that's why she took herself off to the bathroom when she was like, oh, I just need to go and, like, move around a bit. I think it was very much to stop tequila being thrown instead of ravioli this time.
So then we wrap up that scene and we join Sonia at a Century 21 department store meeting for her fashion line, which kind of sounds like a TK Maxx style equivalent.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I got from it. Like, again, I don't really know a huge amount about Century 21, but I did love that she was just like, oh, you know, top designers, but, like, discounted. And that was so long.
This is the thing. It's such a weird way to describe your brand identity. To me, why would you not just say mid-range retail?
Exactly. That sounds so much better than saying, like, oh, I make designer pieces, but nobody will, like, pay the money for them, so they've had to be discounted already.
Yeah, like be in the price bracket of, like, COS, Joseph Rees, because I think her stuff is, like, $80 to $250, that kind of thing.
Which is, like, a respectable, like you say, like, mid-range and, like, good quality kind of brand price. And I don't think there's any shame in that. Like, if anything, she's just sort of diversifying her market and making it much more accessible for people. So I don't understand why she is trying to somehow go way in at the top thinking that she's designer, but also, like, way in at the bottom that it's been discounted.
This is a direct appeal to Sonia Tremont Morgan. I will come over and I will be your CEO of your fashion brand. I mean, my problem at the moment is stock and getting stock, but if I have the stock, you show me it, I will sell it for you.
She needs you to be her, like, full brand strategist, because, like, girl does not know what she's doing.
Bless her soul. And I don't think the guy out in New Jersey does particularly either. So then we cut to the ladies and they're in a car going to a party planning warehouse. And Ramona's like, this year it's different because it's all about my girlfriends. And it's like, sorry, isn't this the central motif of every single party Ramona puts on? Isn't it always about her and her girlfriends?
Literally always. It's always about getting women together and helping them to network and have them all speak to each other and meeting other women. So I don't see why this is any different. And it also really put me off. And just kept being like, it's my coming out party. It's my coming out being single party. And I was like, you have been single for so long at this point. You have been single.
Literally a decade.
Yeah, like, you have been single on the series for as much as you were married. This is not a new thing. It's not a new concept. Let it go. Yeah.
So was it season three or season four that she got divorced?
I think it was four. And I mean, we're up to what? 9?
12, are
12.
We?
Oh, 12. Are we at 12?
I think so.
I think we are. I think you're right. That sounds right. So yeah, she is literally, like, 3/4 of her time on the show, she has been single.
And they meet this man who is just a wet look hairstyle extended into a whole person. He's got, like, a weird untucked black shirt. He's got the overly starched collar, pinkish face. You know that he's got, like, a chunky silver watch on one of his wrists.
Oh, 100%. He's probably got a chain hiding under that shirt collar as well.
Oh, you know it. And a bit of chest hair.
Oh, yes. And he just smells like Lynx. Like, cheap, cheap aftershave.
Oh, just a moment of reflection on that Lynx advert I sent you.
Oh god, it was so monstrous. I literally keep getting the song stuck in my head at, like, random points.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow. God, I remember that was, like, 09 vibes.
That never made it to the UK, unfortunately.
Yeah, because it got banned the crap out of. Of course it only aired on the continent. They were like nude women to sell subpar product. That's our whole thing.
Truly, everybody that is listening to this podcast, if you do one thing with your day today, get on YouTube and watch that video. Because it is
a link to it on the Instagram. It does make me happy though, because it does make me realize that, like, we have come a long way in terms of sexism in the media.
Yeah, I mean, fucking
still plenty to do, but we have come a long way.
God bless feminism everywhere.
So Ramona says that she's toying with the theme of sophisticated jungle, which sounds pretty cool to me.
Yeah, this sounds like right up my kind of street. Like, I love a kind of kitschy luxury kind of vibe crossover. It's very my thing.
I was going to say your wedding might be kind of similar, right? Because your venue has like taxidermy and stuff.
Yeah, it's literally so, like, even the ceremony hall, it's like black and white, like patterned floor, see-through like ghost chairs, and then a giant taxidermy zebra head.
That is amazing. I love that.
We're going to send out our save the dates soon as well, which is super exciting.
That is exciting.
I mean, once I've designed them, I literally sat down to do them the other day and I was like, yeah, this should be fine. Like, I'm pretty, you know, I'm good at illustration. Like, I'm pretty handy on like the computer and stuff. And I sat for 6 hours and I drew a pair of skeleton hands and then I just moved them around the page for a bit. And I was like, I hate this. I'm terrible at this.
I really liked what you started with.
Thank you. I literally hasn't advanced past that in weeks now.
So I think this whole scene was included as a hint of the storyline that's going to take over after Tinsley leaves, which is Sonia and Dorinda feeling kind of neglected or pushed to the side by Ramona.
Yeah, I think it's really setting us up for that. And because, I mean, literally, again, I don't really, it's so rare that I agree with Dorinda. But I agree with her here. Like, what the fuck were they doing there?
Yeah, it was kind of annoying. But Ramona, she's just, I know a few people like this, where if they're in any kind of like businessy, networky situation, they'll just kind of go full force into that mode of being and acting.
Yeah, and kind of like performing to be this like business person rather than just being like a normal human being.
Yeah, where it's all just about like buttering up. So she wants to not have a table plan for this party, which seems like a good idea in theory, but to me it sounds extremely harrowing in practice.
Especially when the guy was just like, oh, Ramona holds court in the center, she's the chandelier of the thing. I was like, oh, crawl back out of her ass.
Ramona being compared to a chandelier was stunning.
I am also genuinely shocked that Ramona does have 60 girlfriends. I truly found this astounding.
I don't know 60 people.
I mean, we literally got to 75 or 76 with like our wedding guest thing. And I was just like, it's just enough. I don't even like half of these people.
That's what I would hate about having a wedding, because there's always like a domino effect of like, oh well, if you're inviting them, then you'll have to make sure to invite them. And then I just feel like by the end of it,
so stressful. Our initial guest list was 120 people and we worked out the budget. We were like, I don't like anybody enough to pay this kind of money for all of these people. So we literally like cut everybody from like just the reception bit, and then we were like, well, we don't really need that person. That person doesn't need to be here. And then we managed to get it far enough down where I was like, I can add actual other people that I really want to be there rather than the people that are there by proxy or kind of out of feeling like obliged to.
Yeah. And like, I mean, will you break even on it with like wedding gifts and stuff?
Well, this is the thing as well. So we're not asking for like gifts and things. Like, we're just kind of like happy that people are going to be there. But we're going to say that if people do want to give us something, we'd much rather they even just gave us like 20 quid towards like a honeymoon or something.
Yeah, I think that's nice. I think that's good.
Yeah, it's kind of, it was one of those things where I was like, we don't need stuff, especially because we don't like own a house or anything at the minute. So I was like, I'd rather just go somewhere like fucking tropical for a fortnight.
Yeah, my parents had like a £500 wedding and then went on a 3-week honeymoon in America instead.
Oh, that sounds incredible. I love your parents more and more every time you tell me things about them.
Oh, I spoke to Mum yesterday. I miss her so much.
Oh, bless you. Hopefully you like not be too long till you can see her.
I know. I'm hoping so. I think like by the sounds of it, France and Europe is getting more and more back to normal. So that's kind of nice. That gives me like optimistic feelings.
Well, that'll be good. Well, hopefully it'll not be too long. Especially now you can do your bubble.
My bubble. Oh, and Bubble Boy in Scotland now thinks he maybe can't come down on Friday, which is so shit.
Oh no, that's such a bummer.
I know, because basically he works in law and apparently they're like taking disciplinary action on anyone that they're finding stretching the rules. And I was just like, look, it's not worth you getting in trouble with your job. Like, don't worry about it. So it sucks, but it's for the best.
So disappointing, though.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I might just go up on the train, you know. I'm kind of like, if I wear a mask and I've got my gloves and I got my hand sanitizer, the trains are going to be so empty anyway.
Yeah, although I did see an absolutely terrifying headline the other day that was like, man had died on a train. He had a heart attack on this train and was just left there for 5 hours because of social distancing and nobody realized that he died. Just truly horrifying.
Oh God. And do you know what? I always have this like fear that I'm just going to die on a long haul flight. Or I'll be next to someone that dies on a long haul flight and the corpse cupboard will be full and then they just have to put a blanket over them.
Oh my God, that would be the worst. That would be terrible.
It happens all the time.
Does it really? Is it a really common thing?
Yeah, that's why all like Boeings and Airbuses have corpse cupboards.
I didn't even know that was a legitimate thing.
Yeah, people die on planes all the time.
That's awful.
I remember my ex was a pilot and he once had a guy that started having a heart attack midair and they had to do an emergency landing.
Oh my God, no.
Can you imagine how stressful?
That would be awful, like so awful. I can't even comprehend it.
No, anyway, let's think sexy thoughts.
Yeah.
Rob, such a dilf. He has such raw sexual energy. I really don't believe that him and Leah aren't still sleeping together.
No, I don't either. I think they're literally so perfect for each other. It's genuinely upsetting to me that they're not just together.
I want to know what went wrong.
I do. I need to know the genuine valid reason that they have that they are not still together, because they are fucking great as a couple.
She gets him to take her dead tree out and he's such a man that he just like takes this tree out of the pot, like holds the house plant by the scruff of its neck and then just vanishes into the night.
I mean, it's the kind of thing that you never really expect to be arousing, and yet here we are.
This really did it for me. Oh, you see, that's the other annoying thing about not having a man come down this weekend. There are like so many little man jobs that I need doing. I've got some light bulbs that need replacing. I've got some spiders that need disposing of.
Oh, I know. Honestly, like Greg was literally horrified because I literally never changed a light bulb until like 6 months ago. And then he was like teaching me how to do it. I literally just couldn't fucking do it for the life of me. And he was like, oh my God, just get out of the way.
Yeah, I'm too scared to get electrocuted.
I am as well. I'm just like, just turn the lights off. He's like, but how do I know? How do they know that they're actually off? I can't do it.
So Ramona is at the bar because she wants to make amends with Tinsley. And then Luann rocks up. And then Ron rocks up.
This is just fucking classic Ramona, isn't it?
Classic escalation,
isn't it? It was literally just that classic thing of like, oh, now that, you know, Dorinda's not here to tell me what to do, like I really wanted to apologize and make it up to you, but by the way, I've got a date arriving in like 4.5 minutes, so make it quick.
We do learn, however, that Scott is letting Tinsley build out a closet and a glam room, which is true commitment.
I mean, I was very much on board with Ramona's chart of commitment things here, in that she put it above the ring, because truly it's a sign that you're there to stay if they've let you take the spare room.
Right. I had to buy my own wardrobe for my last flat.
Oh, unacceptable.
Because it got to the point where I was just like, there's no room in here for any of my stuff. And he was like, well, if you want a wardrobe, just get one.
Oh,
and I was just like, this is not the attitude that you should be having. You should just be like, oh, I'll put my like 3 t-shirts and 2 boxer shorts in this cupboard where they're out of the way, and then you can have the hanging space.
I must admit, when I first moved in with Greg to our last it was a basement and it was a 2-bedroom, and we had obviously like, the big main bedroom is our bedroom and the box room, I was just like, would you be mad if I made this into a wardrobe? And he was like, no, go for it. He literally built me like rails, shelves, like the full like shoe cupboards. Like, it was truly amazing. And then when we moved into this house, which is a 3-bedroom, I was like, yes, can I have like a really big closet? And instead we've got 2 offices and all my stuff is crammed into built-in wardrobes. And I've never missed anything more than I miss that bedroom wardrobe.
Yeah, you need to get a 4-bed.
Yes.
You must be the only like couple with puppies in a 4-bedroom house.
Yeah. Truly, though, we've kind of been discussing like when we're buying houses and stuff, and Greg was just like, oh well, if it's got a garage, like I'm happy just to have the garage as like my workshop thing, because like all he really uses his office for is like painting models and like that kind of thing. So he was like, yeah, I'm happy just having like a garage workshop. And I was like, fantastic. I was like, so I get an office.
Yes, concile. I mean, exile him to the garage. I really want to move to a two-bedroom flat so I can have a walk-in wardrobe.
It's life-changing, honestly. My life has never been the same since.
I'm working on it. I've saved up. I've got some money from my inheritance. Thanks, Grandma. So, you know, it could be a reality in the next year or two, especially if there's a housing crash.
Oh, my God. I know. This is the thing. We are so, like, bummed because we just don't have enough money saved just yet to be able to put down a deposit, obviously, between, like, all of this happening and the wedding. But we're just like, housing market is going to be so, so low in the next couple of years. And I'm just like, why didn't I save earlier?
No, but if you start saving now, I reckon it's going to be bad for a while.
Yeah.
Bodes well for us for once.
I'm like, yes, come on, housing market, plummet through the floor. Wait till I'm on the ladder and then you can go back up.
So we then go to Tinsley's and she's packing up her hotel apartment. We get the obligatory close-up of Bambi's ashes. And Dale is just holding various objets from the side and just weeping.
I literally love when she was like holding that little metal thing. She's like, look at the little baby cup. And just burst into tears at this fucking metal contraption.
They're so acting like Chicago is like the Yukon. You know, I mean, I didn't actually think it was that far from New York. It actually is over 2 hours of flight time, which did surprise me. But I mean, it's still not like you could do that, frankly, in a day if you wanted to.
I was going to say, I mean, that's not a difficult commute, particularly for their family, who obviously has like infinite amounts of money. Like, I'm sure it's not going to be above and beyond for them to hire a jet for like a 2 hour flight.
No. Although I wonder if I reckon Tinsley flies commercial, but I reckon she flies commercial like business or first.
Oh, 100%. There ain't no way she's getting in coach.
I mean, that's true. I mean, if Scott's really worth 30 million, then he probably has like a light aircraft.
Yeah, I would assume so. Or at least can charter one for Dale to pop over.
The dogs are dressed in actual children's like tutus and it is just disgusting to me.
I loved Leah's face when she walked through the door and saw those dogs as well.
I think Leah is like, you can tell that Leah's torn because she's obviously happy for Tinsley, but you can tell that she's too jaded and cynical for this whole fairy tale ending.
I know. And I kind of love that she sort of has like a nod to it as well. When she's like, oh, I wish I had like even a tenth of like the kind of optimism and stuff that Tinsley has. But to be honest, I think I'd much rather be in Leah's side of things than Tinsley's. Like, it just feels much more realistic.
Yeah, and I think Tinsley will fall to pieces if something goes wrong.
Yeah, whereas I feel like Leah's a lot better equipped to handle it.
You know what else I thought watching this scene?
Mm-hmm.
Dale and Sonia could do a spin-off.
Oh my God, can you imagine? It would literally be Geriatric Girls Gone Wild.
I just think they're a great pairing. And I'll be honest, I was like emoting at this. I was like upset this morning watching this. I don't know why, it just got me in the feelings.
Genuinely same. It stirred something deep down in my very cold empty soul where I was like, oh my God, it's like when the Grinch is like, I'm feeling.
cut it off.
Make it end.
Plug. So we get a little montage of Tinsley living her best, which is just basically her in like various poofy dresses in quick succession.
Interspersed with clips of her just crying and wailing.
And we learn that Scott proposes around Christmas time, so it becomes official. They're engaged.
Did you see the little video of this?
No.
Oh, it was on Instagram. I'll find it and send you. I can't remember who posted
it. Did she collapse again?
I don't think she did. I think she actually had a more over-the-top eccentric reaction to when he showed up at her apartment than when he proposed to her.
I will just never forget her just dropping to the floor.
I just don't understand it. It seems so, so bizarre that she had that kind of reaction to him literally just showing up. I've sent you the video on Instagram as well, so you can watch it at your leisure afterwards.
No, I'm going to watch it now.
It is quite heartwarming.
Let's see. Oh, it's a proper production.
Oh yeah, they went full on.
Why have they got minstrels? That is insane.
Isn't it wild?
Oh my god, she's just weeping. Why are they both in puffer jackets?
I think I can only assume it must be like cold as fuck in Chicago.
She's in like a full-length Moncler moment.
Yeah. It's probably the same jacket that she was wearing in the clip where she leaves.
Sorry, but I'm screaming with the medieval. Like, there's a man with a lute. Truly insane.
I mean, I just don't know what happened, but it was, you know, it was probably everything that Tinsley wanted it to be, like Christmas carolers and cold and all of this.
I'm happy for her.
I know, me too.
So we get the mid-season preview and we get Ramona and Leah dealing with a loo. We see the trip. So where are they on the trip? It looks either Caribbean, but then there were camels.
Yeah, I was kind of confused about this as well. I was assuming somewhere probably Caribbean, or they may have gone somewhere Middle Eastern, but I imagine it's probably much more likely to be the Caribbean.
But then wasn't there the guy dressed in like the tribal gear, which didn't strike me as Middle Eastern?
Maybe they went somewhere like Australia or New Zealand, kind of.
You wouldn't have camels in Australia, would you?
Africa?
Yeah, I was thinking Madagascar or something.
Yeah, maybe they've done like a bit of a sort of safari kind of thing.
But then I think we'd have seen them on a safari.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway. We'll find out. We see Luann pulling the "you're out of the show" card. She's also very clearly off the wagon.
Oh yeah, she is drunk in this little preview.
And then the culmination of the series, Leah obviously pulls something at Ramona's party that she doesn't like, and we just watch as the fourth wall crumbles in front of our eyes.
I need to know what Ramona didn't want filmed out of everything that has happened throughout the entirety of like Roni. We've got like Ramona glassing Kristen and Aviva throwing her false leg across the table at a dinner. So what is it that happens that Ramona's literally just like, stop filming this?
Is it just Leah getting naked and dancing?
I don't know.
It doesn't seem like enough when you have Sonia nude in the pool and that's not an issue. Or is it that Ramona's in front of her uptight, like, off Fifth Avenue friends? I don't know.
Quite possibly. It could be more the setting than the content, but I literally need to know. Like, I feel like I cannot rest until I know what is happening. But I feel like this is going to be probably, like, penultimate episode material.
Yeah, I think so too. Although it's interesting because obviously now we've got the 2-week hiatus because they're trying to kind of work through their backlog.
I know.
We'll kind of see how they choose to play it.
I know. I can't believe they're going to be like 2 weeks though, but it's better than obviously Beverly Hills, which has had like till the end of July now, it's been pushed back to.
You're joking.
No, I think it was literally like the 18th of July or something.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I understand why they have to do it, but.
I know, but still.
And then later on in the year, we'll have Potomac and we'll have Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which should be fun. It's always fun to have a new franchise.
I know, I'm really excited about that. I wonder if we'll have managed to get through enough of Potomac where we'll kind of be up to date and able to watch, like, and recap the new series.
I think we probably will, because we'll still do our Potomac one next week, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm up for it. I know that you can't wait.
I'm literally so fucking excited.
You need to know how things pan out.
I know, I cannot get enough of these women.
You can follow Faith on Instagram at Faith_Elizabeth with 2 H's, and you can check out her writing work and her illustration work on faithrichardson.co.uk. You can follow me on Twitter at Louisa G. Rogers, and you can check out my website at louisarogers.net. So we will be speaking to you about Potomac, and that will be midweek next week. So what are you doing for the rest of the weekend? Anything interesting?
I am going to go see my parents tonight. I think we're gonna have Sunday dinner, which I'm so looking excited.